three out of three for Liverpool here in the Champions League. Great stuff on a slot. Goes into a record books here because this is the first time in our history we've won each of our opening six away games in all competitions. That is something. Tonight, Ibu Konate was an absolute rock at the back for Liverpool, winning challenges alongside Virgil van Dijk. Darwin Nunez into the team to replace the injured Diogo Jota. Took his opportunity. The goal was excellent. Gakpo in the first half. Reverse ball on the in-swinger to Tsimikas, who got it behind. Good cross. Salah's header. It might have been going in, but Nunez, like all good strikers, made sure it went in. Liverpool could easily have had two penalties in the first half too. McAllister hit the bar. Gakpo missed some chances. In the end, Kevin Callagher made some brilliant saves in the second half for Liverpool. Galaxy was brilliant for Leipzig. But it's a Liverpool win again. Leipzig 0, Liverpool 1.
That was our commentator Steve Hunter's summary of events at the Red Bull Arena as Liverpool made it three wins out of three in the Champions League with a tight 1-0 victory over RB Leipzig. I'm Becky Davis and you're listening to The Reaction. Coming up in this podcast, we'll hear from Arne Slot and Cody Gakpo as well. In the LFC TV studio, I was joined by former Red Gary Gillespie and current Red Gemma Bonner. And on our fan panel, we were delighted to be joined by Dan Austin, Paul Cope and Sashi Nair from the Kuala Lumpur Official Supporters Club. I feel like, how did that end 1-0? There were so many chances, obviously saves as well, including by Kevin Callagher in that second half, and disallowed goals, Gem. 1-0, we'll take it, but it felt, again, a little bit stressful at times.
Yeah, there was a lot going on in the game. I think Leipzig probably started the stronger of the teams. First 15 minutes especially, they probably had the better of the chances. I think then Liverpool started to settle into the game, get a bit more control, and then we could see the chances starting to create. I think probably the first goal settled them. I'd probably argue if it was going in from Salah before Nunes touched it, but I think for him to get the goal, it obviously meant a lot for him coming into the starting lineup, and he was determined to probably claim that. And then I think, you know, there was a lot of chances throughout the game, but a controlled performance, I would say.
Yeah, and I think a game that Liverpool grew into, I suppose you could say, Gary, after that, as Jem said, that the start was more Leipzig, but they grew into it.
I think once they got the first goal, then it really was Liverpool dominance. They kind of mastered the game, they like controlled the game. Not just controlled it, but created opportunities and created chances as well. And had they taken all the chances that they created, then it could have been a more comfortable victory. In the end, I think it was a little bit nervy. It always is when you're playing away from home, and especially in Champions League. I think you always expect the opposition to maybe do something. And in the end, on another night, it might happen for them. Mependa got caught offside. I lost count how many times, four or five times, when really, in certain occasions, he shouldn't have. He didn't need to be offside. He could have timed his run a lot better. And had he done so, Liverpool might have been punished. But a couple of good saves from the goalkeeper, Kevin Kelleher. But I think when you go away from Europe, and Europe, you're going to have everybody that's performing on the night. And I think Liverpool did that. I think you can't really say that it was an outstanding performance, but you can't say there was any bad performances. And I think all in all, it was a totally professional performance from them.
Yeah, and I think a lot of opportunities were, as well, if it wasn't for their keeper, I think we probably would be looking at a bigger margin in the scoreline.
Yeah, and I think for the game to always be at the 1-0 is always a chance. I think Liverpool probably disappointed they didn't take more of the chances that they created. Obviously, the keeper's made some fantastic saves, but I think when it's always 1-0, there's always an element of, you know, they only needed one goal, and I think you could see in the last 10 minutes there was a few decent chances. I think what I did like in terms of the distances between Liverpool, it allowed them that if mistakes were made, there was someone there to make crucial blocks or step in interceptions, and I think that was evident and ultimately got them the result.
I think that's been the big difference from last season. I think when you look at Arne Slot's policy and philosophy, the way he wants to play, they're a lot tighter in the middle of the park. When they lose possession or when they get caught maybe a little bit upfield, they've either got like Ryan Gravenberch back or Alexi McAllister back, and they don't get exposed. Certainly the back four don't get as exposed as much as maybe what we saw last season. And I think Jimmy makes a great point that the distances between everybody, at times, I think we even saw it at the weekend against Chelsea when we were under a little bit of pressure. You know, Darwin Núñez was coming back. We had 10 players behind the ball, really. And it's difficult to break down. If you've got 10 good players like Liverpool have, it's difficult to break them down. And I think, again, tonight, at times, they were pushed back a little bit. But they looked quite solid and quite, like, close to each other. And if one player never, like, missed a tackle, there was somebody in at the back of them again. Like, so I think, all in all, that's like, that's been a big difference, I think, from last season.
Yeah, I was going to ask you two, obviously, as defenders yourself, you know, what you've kind of been so impressed with. And I suppose the temptation is to look at that back line. But what you're actually saying is that that work is starting right from the very front, really.
Yeah, I think I noticed even in the last 10 minutes or so, there was a ball that beat the front line, and you could see Virgil straight away telling the forwards, you've got to close the gaps, you've got to shut the gaps, because one ball can take out three or four players and all of a sudden you are exposed and vulnerable as a back line. But I think for me, it's, you know, as a defender, if you get people to do the jobs in front of you, there's a lot less space for the players. And we knew the threat that they caused, especially on the transition, and what they thrive off is the space. And if you deny the space, then you deny them a lot of opportunities. And I think keeping the gaps close together, you rely on communication from behind you, and you have to trust that information to be in the right place. And, you know, sometimes it can feel like you're probably not doing anything, but actually you're probably doing not just your job, but half of someone else's too. And I think that was really evident, especially for me.
I mean, like, defenders want it easy, so like you do. as long as you can communicate in front of you, you're all right.
I think it's a bit of a test of game management as well, isn't it, a match like that? And there's something quite, I imagine, satisfying about a 1-0, especially away from home in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, clean sheet for defenders is the first thing, and especially going away from home, you know, the opposition are always going to probably have their phase of play in the game where they're going to be on top. I think that the goal early settles you, but you also know that, you know, it's only one margin of error that it can easily open the game back up again. So I think, yeah, they'll definitely be happy with the clean sheet. It's a big result, and we knew it was going to be a tough one tonight. And yeah, I think it showed. We knew it was going to be a close one.
Yeah, and I think as well, we spoke pre-match, didn't we, about momentum, and we'll speak more about Arsenal later on, but it is the perfect platform to take into the weekend, Gary.
Well, when you think about it, all records broken, like, you know, I think, what is that, 11 and 12, or is it 10 and 11 or something like that, like, performances? I mean, you don't get much better than that. And I mean, like, perfection is obviously, like, winning a game against Nottingham Forest, but, you know, it's been a pretty good start from them, especially not just in the Premier League, but in Europe as well, 9 points from nine. Be sitting at the top of the table alongside Aston Villa. I don't know what the rest of the results were tonight, but we find ourselves in a really good position at this moment in time, at this stage of the season.
Yeah, we'll catch you up with the other results in just a minute. But just in terms of records, this is actually now that the first time in Liverpool's history they've won every one of their opening six away fixtures. So he, you know, could not have dreamt really of a much better start, aside from that Forest game, as Gary says.
Yeah, I mean, going away from home, it's completely different. I think everyone knows Anfield is a fortress. And I think you almost maybe have to adapt. There's difficulties in terms of playing away, the travel as well. And I think, to have that record, it's really a fearful for the opposition, knowing that, you know, you've got a team coming away from home that have a good record. So I think Liverpool will, they used to win.
I mean, hopefully we're talking about like the same thing after the weekend against Arsenal.
Hopefully, fingers crossed after Arsenal. Let's show you how the top of the Champions League table looks tonight, because that win does see, as you would expect, Liverpool climb back up into that top section of the table. They join Aston Villa at the very top of the league, the only two teams with the maximum 9 points. Villa, of course, with a one goal better goal difference that season, just above Liverpool there. Jen, that looks pretty nice so far, and Villa will be pinching themselves with that, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think three English teams at the top there as well. I think it probably shows, you know, we mentioned it before about the intensity of the Premier League. But for sure, to see Villa top, I'm sure they'll be extremely happy. But from a Liverpool point of view, the three wins from three, sitting happy, you can't really ask for much more with, obviously two tough opponents to come.
Let's get the thoughts of our fan panel. We're going to go to them now. We'll start with, I think he's there, Dan Austin. There he is. Dan, just tell us your thoughts. Have we got him? There he is, Dan. Tell us your thoughts tonight. Obviously, it feels pretty satisfying, that one. What was your take on the game?
Yeah, terrific to be in that position in the group. I mean, that probably means that Liverpool are only 5, maybe 6 more points away from essentially guaranteeing themselves in a place in the top 8. 9 might even be enough to get through in the top 24 as it stands. So Liverpool have given themselves an awful lot of breathing space later in this initial phase. And it certainly wasn't a perfect performance. Leipzig had chances, but they're going to when they've got a front three with that level of talent in it. They've got really good young players behind them. Liverpool, by and large, I thought delivered a really sensible, very smart, very efficient European away performance. And given how early they are in the manager's reign and some aspects of the play are really quite different, you can't ask for any more than that. They're adapting so well. They're implementing what they're being asked to do in quite difficult game situations really well. And although the game maybe became a little bit more hectic towards the end, it understandably would when you're a single goal up, you know, away at a decent side in Europe. By and large, Liverpool were in control of that, certainly from when they scored the first goal. So I thought that once they settled into it, they just enacted the normal game plan, restricted the opposition, played really sensibly. So should be really, really pleased with themselves.
Okay, thanks, Dan. We'll go to Paul now. Paul, your thoughts? Obviously, it's always a tough place to go, and I think it felt like a tie by the time tonight came round that seemed a little bit trickier because of their start and how good they've been in the Bundesliga than maybe it was when the draw was made, but you're probably pretty pleased with what you've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. Similar to Dan, but I think it's worth stressing the start they've made because they're level on points with Bayern Munich. They've 1-5, drawn 2, got the best defence in Germany. If we were going away to Bayern tonight and we'd have won 1-0, I think everyone would be ecstatic. So that's the level they're playing at the moment. And I think that the overall thing for me with this Liverpool team right now is I'm wondering when we're going to start, maybe outside Liverpool, but maybe even inside with some of the fans, getting the credit that we deserve, because we've now won away at the San Siro, away at Old Trafford and away at Leipzig. You know, a couple of days after beating Chelsea at home, I'm not sure what more this team and this manager can do or could have done at this point. Well, as Gary mentioned, we could have beaten Forest and had an absolutely perfect record. But I mean, it's an incredible start by a new manager and a side that did okay last year and did well under Klopp. But I don't think any of us would have predicted this at the start of the season. So I think all in all, there's nothing to grumble about.
Yeah, I will come to you, Sashi, in just a moment, but I'm going to ask the guys in the studio about that because it's an interesting point that Paul makes and maybe still not getting the credit that they quite deserve. But are we almost happy to leave it like that for the moment?
I am. I'm quite happy. I mean, like, everybody talk about Arsenal as much as you want, talk about Manchester City as much as you want, leave Liverpool alone, go under the radar. Nothing's won in this stage of the season. Still an awful long way to go. We've made a fantastic start, but we're not pulling up any trees at this moment in time. If you ask the bookies, Manchester City will still be favourites for the Premier League. Arsenal will be second favourites and Liverpool will be third favourites, I would imagine. But let's keep it that way because, as I say, as long as we can go under the radar, I think that takes the pressure off. I think we found last season, when it got to the stage of the season where we got a little bit under pressure. I'm not saying we folded, I'm not saying we collapsed, there were maybe mitigating circumstances, but we kind of fell away a little bit and didn't do ourselves justice. So as long as we can keep under the radar, I think that does us a favour.
Yeah, I think exactly what Gary says, that playing without pressure, I suppose pressure in some ways can be helpful, but over the course of a season, if you're the slight outsiders, that probably works in your favour in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I think if you focus on yourself, you focus on what you're doing well. I think we're doing so many things well at the moment. We're controlling the games, and if you're keeping clean sheets every single week, you're giving yourself a good chance anyway. So I think it's easy to kind of get caught up in the outside pressure and, you know, people are saying, you know, Chelsea aren't as strong as they are. And I think you can only play the team that's put in front of you. And if you're consistently doing the things well, you're building the momentum, you've got the confidence within the squad. And I think probably the big thing is keeping the squad healthy. Coming away tonight, hopefully with no more injuries after the weekend. I think that's probably a big thing. But definitely, I think you want to just keep your head down and keep picking up the points.
OK, we're going to go to Sashi now, who's been up all night watching this game. It's, what is it, coming up to 6 o'clock in the morning there in Kuala Lumpur, where you are. Was it worth it, Sashi?
Yeah, definitely it is worth it. And I think the team kept it very simple. They didn't expose themselves much, knowing there is another big match against Arsenal this weekend. And knowing it's a pretty exhausting week, you know, they just got back from the international break and they had a big match against Chelsea. And just about 3 days later on, they took on RB Leipzig today. And it's going to be a hectic week. And I think it was a good result, just like what others said, you know.
Yeah, it's fair enough if there was a little bit of fatigue, isn't there, after the internationals and obviously the travelling tonight, and of course a big one against Chelsea and another big one to look forward to this weekend.
Yeah, I think maybe Slot had it in his mind tonight. Obviously Salah come off at 60 minutes, he's played a lot of football, and I think, you know, with the front line, no matter who you put up there, you're always going to keep the energy, the intensity and the creativity because the competition's so high. And I think as long as everyone's healthy, that competition's there and you're all pushing. So I think that's maybe another example of where they're managing the travel. Salah's played a lot of football. There's been international, a lot of travel. So it is important that you've got your squad that you can use.
Let's get your thoughts on some individuals. We'll come back to you guys on Zoom in a moment. But Gary, Darwin Núñez, I think, will take a lot of the headlines this evening. Of course, gets the goal. But I think he was just involved in so much, wasn't he, as well?
All-round play was better than what we've seen for a while, I think. I think his hold-up play was pretty decent. He runs the channels really, really well. It gives you an option, like, as a midfield player or as a defender, to like play these balls into the channels. And he's tireless running, like, wears defenders down. I think the goal will certainly do him good. I think that'll stand him in good stead. As much as it's a tap-in, strikers like tap-ins. They like to take anything they can,
get. I'm sure.
And it probably, you know, would it have gone in for Mohamed Salah? Possibly they might have done, but I think Darwin Núñez needs that little bit of confidence more than Mohamed Salah does. So all in all, I think an all-round better performance from Darwin Núñez. Does he start at the weekend against Arsenal? I'm not 100% sure. I think if Diogo Jota's fit, I think Jota starts.
But ultimately, he put himself about, didn't he? He was busy, he was involved in a lot, and that's kind of what you want to see from him, making himself a nuisance, effectively.
It is, and it's what you expect from him. I think, you know, we spoke a lot about him in the pre-game in terms of how infectious he is and how he can affect defenders, how he draws them to him. And I think the other players that he has around him can exploit the space that he leaves, and, you know, he's such a threat in the air as well from the crosses that come in. And I think we saw that. We had a chance very early on.
I think we'll go to a stage with Darwin Núñez now that we're expecting a little bit more than chaos. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I nicknamed him. Well, I don't like if I nicknamed him, but Captain Chaos was his nickname, wasn't it?
Gary's taking credit for
that. And that kind of sums him up. But I think we've got to the stage now where we want a little bit more from Darwin Núñez. We want some goals. We want assists. Mm-hmm. We want to see an all-round player as opposed to just like a guy that goes like mad and like crazy.
And I think he knows that he can deliver more than that as well. And that's the thing, Jem. He obviously really wants to prove himself. And tonight was a big opportunity for him to grasp that.
It was. And I think he was probably unfortunate not to get another goal in terms of what he offered in and around the box. But I do think we're seeing probably a little bit more of a complete and, I guess, tidier player. Not so much chaotic in terms of the quality on the ball and the delivery, the types of shots that he's taken. You know, it seems a lot more controlled in his performances.
Yeah, he had a header, which was obviously very well saved, actually. Also had a penalty appeal that was turned down. What was your take on that one? Because it looked a little bit harsh.
I thought it was
a
penalty. I have to say, like, I thought it was a clumsy challenge from the defender. He made, I think, quite a sufficient contact, to be quite honest with you. And I think the referee got a couple of decisions. I think the booking for Alexis McAllister for diving.
Diving,
was,
yeah, that was early
that
on,
was
wasn't it? Yeah.
Ridiculous decision, and I think the penalty decision was the wrong one as well.
Yeah, the officials had a busy night, shall we say. You and I watched that penalty that wasn't a penalty appeal in the office, and you were Team Gary. You were convinced
it was. Yeah, straight away I said a penalty. I can maybe see why it's not given because he's not maybe getting on the end of the touch, but as a defender, I mean, I wouldn't be making that tackle in the box.
Well, I think as a defender, you're like, you would probably want to come out on the side of the defender, but I don't think there was any, like, I don't think there was any alibi for, like, the defender there. I think it was a stonewall penalty.
Mm-hmm. OK, I'm going to go to the fans back on Zoom. Dan, I'm going to come to you first of all, because Darwin Núñez is a player that sometimes divides the fan base, I think, but I think there is still a lot of United support behind him and everyone wants to see him do well. What did you make of him tonight?
I thought he was terrific, and he was when he came on against Chelsea at the weekend. And what I've found really interesting about these two performances is, despite the fact that he's not played an awful lot at the start of the season and since the manager has come in, he's doing things that he perhaps wasn't in the previous couple of seasons, where maybe his energy around the box and some really impressive shooting sometimes might be the positives that you would look at and say those are the things to build on. He's now doing things like dropping really deep into midfield and picking the ball up, carrying it forward, spraying it left and right to start a bit of a break. He's pressing defenders, he's following people who are maybe for the opposition, bringing the ball out and trying to play and harrying them, putting pressure on them. He's becoming, it seems like, a really effective kind of player for the system, and I think that would have been one of his weaknesses before. There were times last season and in the campaign before that where it seemed like he was a kind of separate player from the other 10. Sometimes he was doing his own thing, and sometimes he might do something amazing off his own back, but it didn't feel like it was necessarily in keeping with the style of everyone else. Now, certainly in the past few days anyway, it seems like that's really changed. He's linking up with people a lot more successfully than what he was doing before. It just looks like he's kind of got to grips with things. He looks smarter. And if he's going to have maybe a bit more of a role to play over the next couple of months, both because there's going to be more and more games playing every midweek, but also because of the Jota injury now, then that bodes really well, because stuff like that goal tonight, for example, or the penalty that clearly should have been given, I think, that will come easier if he's being effective in all those different ways, if his teammates are trusting him more, if he's you know, kind of being useful in these different regards, then the attack and play and the talent that we know that he's already got can combine with that and make him a really important player.
Yeah, we are going to go to a break in just a minute, but just briefly to get your thoughts on that, because I think that's a really interesting point. Dan's saying effectively he feels he's evolved as a footballer. Is that something that you've seen from Darwin Núñez too?
Yeah, I think it's probably been a team thing as well. I think coming under a new manager, you have to almost buy into it. And I think with him being maybe out of the team, he's probably realised that, you know, I have to take on board what I'm being told and really buy into the team, because when a team's winning, you know, it's hard to change it until you come in and you contribute. And I think showing that he can link up with the players and be a bit more effective, if you like, in games, I think he knows he's probably at the stage in his career where he has to start performing and doing it on a consistently good basis, because we know the quality he has got, but it's just about how often can we get that out of him.
Yeah, he's got to hit that point this season, I guess, Gary. It's a huge campaign for him.
Yeah, I think Dan made a good point. He hasn't played an awful lot of football, and, like, you know, sometimes that is difficult to come in. Like, you know, Jürgen talked about it an awful lot of times. When players come in from not having an awful lot of football, the rhythm and the tempo to try and find that is sometimes difficult. But no, I think all round, I think his play has got a lot better from what I've seen the last couple of games. But you've got to extend that. You've got to do that for, like, an extended amount of games. So we'll wait and see. As I say, whether he starts at the weekend against Arsenal or not, I'm not 100% sure. I think the manager would probably think Diogo Jota would be ahead of him. But yeah, we'll wait and see what happens. But in saying that, Liverpool's squad at this moment in time is such that, you know, you've got Alisson out. Kevin Keller comes in, makes a couple of really good saves. No weakness there. I think Diogo Jota goes out. Darwin Núñez comes in again, like for like a little bit, and I don't think there's a vast amount of difference between the two of them. So all in all, I think we're in a good position at this moment in time.
I'm Andy Robertson. Get kitted out for the new season with LFC Store.
The new 24-25 season Nike home, away and third kits are out now, as well as the new Nike LFC training range. And don't miss our retro and heritage collection, along with LFC label fashion for men, women and kids. Buy them today at your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app.
You'll never walk alone.
It finishes 1-0 to Liverpool against RB Leipzig tonight. Let's head straight back over to the Red Bull Arena. On a slot is with Mark Benstead.
And well done, another win away from home. What pleased you most about this evening's performance?
Again, of course, the clean sheet, although we needed Cuif and that two centre-backs, especially in the last 20 minutes for that as well. But I spoke about before the game, when I spoke about Chelsea, that I would have preferred to see a more dominant performance combined with the win. And today, I think I saw a dominant performance in a difficult away leg against a Group 1 team. That pleased me a lot. The only thing I missed was that if you are so dominant in the period of the game, you have to score a second. And that's what we didn't do, and that's why it was tough till the end.
This team seems to keep its cool when it has difficult moments. Is that something you've tried to breed in them, to keep composure when the opposition get on top for spells? Because they come through it pretty well.
Yeah. I think the main thing for that is that we are really comfortable on the ball. We really know how to open up the midfield, how to find the free player over there. But if we have to defend, we've got quality defenders and a lot of hard work rate from our attackers as well to keep the other team away from our goal. And if, in the end, they get their chances, which every team at this level gets, then we have a quality goalkeeper with Cuif.
We can look at the Premier League table, we can look at the Champions League table, we can look at the wins you've had so far, but at the heart of it all is the fact you've only conceded 5 goals up until this point. How pleasing is that? And is that something you specifically sort of set out to work on when you came through the door?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why we are where we are is that we haven't conceded a lot, because if you concede much more goals, then normally you're not so high on the league table. So it is something we worked on, but we put a lot of emphasis also on our build-up game. And I think that's also one of the reasons why we don't concede, because we normally, except for the Chelsea game, have a lot of dominance and a lot of control in the game.
Well done tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, he'd only faced one German side before as a manager, beat Union Berlin with Feyenoord a couple of years ago. He seems pretty pleased, as he should be. It's interesting about the clean sheet was the very first thing that he mentioned there, as you guys, obviously, that's the bedrock in which you build everything on.
Yeah, I think it was interesting as well then how he said about a lot of the focus is on the build-up in terms of how they're controlling the game and managing the possession. And I think the more you have of the ball, obviously, the less likely it is for the opponents to have it. But at the same time, it has to be measured. You can't, you know, it has to have a purpose in terms of how you're playing around with it. But I think in terms of going back to the point and how we're bringing Nunes into it, maybe because Liverpool are more controlled in the possession and the build-up and the creative phase, that then contributes to how his performance is. I think previously we've maybe been, you know, playing a bit more risk versus the reward. And that's allowed the players to have a little bit more freedom in terms of on the ball, which means if it turns over, then the space is everywhere. And I think he's probably alluded to the fact that, you know, maybe we should have scored more goals in terms of having that much dominance in the possession. But at the same time, having controlled the game, it takes away a lot of strengths that Leipzig had.
Just to underline that improvement in clean sheets. So 7 clean sheets after 12 games. It took 22 games last season to reach that milestone. So you're not just talking about a little margin there. It's almost, you know, half, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think when you go back to the successful, was it 2021 season, we were winning games 1-0 and 2-0 and things like that. We were picking up clean sheets on a regular basis. And you look at like any successful side throughout the course of history, like the Premier League or even going back to the old First Division, teams that have like good defences or strong defences more often than not are challenging at the top of the table, if not like winning the league. So I think it's vitally important that you keep clean sheets. I mean, if you remember last season, I lost count of how many times we were going a goal behind and that we were having to, like, you know, come from behind all the time and win like 2-1s or 3-2s or 3-1s or something like that. And if you give that, if you do that throughout the course of the season, it just gives you a mountain to climb too many times. And like, no team has the capability of doing that on a regular enough basis. So vitally important you keep clean sheets, especially with the players that we have in forward areas of the pitch, where you kind of know that you're going to get opportunities and you're going to get chances to score goals. If you're like keeping clean sheets, then you know, what's wrong with winning 1-0 and like picking up points like that? It's fantastic.
It is indeed. And he mentioned Quaveen Kelleher there, who has been so reliable in this role that he has, that it almost isn't a talking point now when he puts in such a good performance. And to be fair, at times tonight he wasn't really troubled, but when he was called upon, obviously equal to the task.
Yeah, I think we see it time and time again. Every time he needs to step up or to be called upon, he puts in performances and comes up with big moments in the big games. And I think, yeah, obviously he didn't really have too much to do, but there was definitely moments where he's got his team out of trouble. And I think, you know, Slot alluded to the fact that if you have your forward players, they're beating the midfield players, then you've got the defenders, and the last line of defence is the goalkeeper. And I think everyone has their part to play. And I think to have a goalkeeper like him as a backup, I will say, it's a fantastic, you know, position to be in terms of there's no drop in level.
That's the key, isn't it? That is the key.
And I think especially for defenders, you know, a change of keeper can mean a big change in the confidence throughout the squad.
Yeah,
throughout the back line, and I don't think there is a difference.
Yeah, we'll bring our fan panel back in for this, because I think Dan has got a point he wants to make on Quaveen Kelleher, and I think probably echoing the guys in the studio, Dan, that he is so reliable now that you almost don't even notice at times that things have changed.
Yeah, you don't blink when you see his name on the team sheet anymore, which is probably the highest compliment that you could pay to a inverted commas backup goalkeeper. I think the point that Gemma makes is absolutely correct, that the everyone else who's playing in front of him doesn't really have to adjust anything. You know, normally if a backup goalkeeper is starting for a really good team, the lead centre-back might say something like, you know, well, we'll have to drop 5 yards here sometimes because the fella behind us, we've got a little bit less confidence in, or he's a little bit less quick or reactive or whatever it may be. But the fact that he's so good on the ball, for example, means that the rest of the Liverpool team does not have to compromise its style in any way. And normally, even if you've got a backup goalkeeper that's decent, he's not going to be the same type of goalkeeper necessarily as the one that you've got that's first choice, especially when it's one that's as amazing as Alisson has been for so many years. So not only is it a case of, you know, he's making brilliant saves and thinking, you're watching him and thinking, you know, he's a top-level goalkeeper in his own right, but everyone else just gets to play their natural game, don't need to worry about what's behind them, don't need to think, oh, we'll have to come a bit shorter because you can't kick it or something like that. It's a really privileged position that Liverpool are in to have him there.
Yeah, I'll come to yourself, Paul. And just defensively in general, how pleased are you with what you see in this season? It seems a bit more steel compared to the last campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be intrigued to hear what Gemma and Gary have got to say about this, actually, because as much as I think I have to say before I make this point, and people shout at me on the internet, it goes without saying that we all love Jurgen Klopp and there should be a statue built and he's a legend for all time. And he wasn't the only one who was exhausted by the end of his reign. I think we were all exhausted with the, especially last season. Gary's already referenced the number of comebacks and the frantic football we played. And I'm really loving the refreshing change. And I know it's only slightly tactically changed, but the stability we play with now and the solidity. I used to say, I think playing centre-back or as the six for a Jurgen Klopp team were the hardest positions to play in world football. So I'd be interested to hear from Gary and Gemma, would they prefer to play in a slot setup or a Klopp setup?
Oh, that's a great question. Go on, over to you two.
Well, yeah, without any shadow of a doubt, on the slots, like formation and kind of philosophy, I think the more bodies that you have around you, like the more comfortable you feel. You know, at times we were like, well, we're man for man at the back at times. And as much as like Virgil van Dijk and Kanate, and even Konza to a certain degree as well, are quite comfortable playing man to man, you will get caught out eventually, and you'll get caught out more often than not. And especially on breakaways and counter attacks. I mean, most teams these days, like, the last thing they want to do is get counter-attacked. But Liverpool last season, well, actually in the whole the reign that Jurgen was there, we got counter-attacked. There was like four or five on to maybe like two centre-backs or three. Trent Alexander-Arnold's a prime example. We don't see Trent nearly as much in advanced positions as what we do as what we do just now. In fact, you look at the Chelsea game, I made reference in commentary, he hardly went over the halfway line against Chelsea. But tonight he was a little bit more advanced. He went into that central position a little bit more. But we're more compact in the middle of the park, especially when we lose possession. the likes of Gravenberch, the likes of McAllister, they've got bodies around them. And I just think, like, the more you have bodies around you, the more comfortable and confident you feel. And I think that like kind of oozes out in your performance. And I think we're seeing that a lot more under like Slot's team is maybe what we did against Jürgen. But I mean, you make a great point. How can you criticise Jürgen Klopp? He's an absolute hero.
Of course he is. What about you, Jim?
100%. I think I have to agree with you. You're there. I think under Klopp there was probably a lot of emergency defending in terms of, do you do the space? Do you do the player? And you're defending sometimes 2v2 and half a pitch. And I think, yeah, it's a lot more controlled in terms of the players having in front of you. I think we saw evidence of it at the weekend. You know, last season, how many times did people say Trent can't defend? You see him at the weekend. Yeah. He's in a defensive position. He's in a strong position where he can dominate the attacker and he can defend. So I think it's almost the narrative that because defenders are exposed, they can't defend. But actually, if you put them in a situation where they're in control, it shows what qualities they do have. But of course, Klopp had so much success, so much exciting play. It was probably more fun to be an attacker than a defender, though, I think, last year.
I'm going to bring in Sashi because I think a lot of credit, we're obviously talking about the back line, but also needs to go to Ryan Gravenberch, who, of course, offers so much protection defensively and has taken to a role that was previously unfamiliar to him, really, like a Dr. Water this season.
Yeah, if you look at it, I'll try to make it very simple over here. You know, this is the same team that played last season under the Klopp. Same defenders, same flankers, even the same midfield, except for Gravenberch. You know, I think his presence this season is making a big difference over here. You know, which I think Klopp somehow rather didn't realise that Gravenberch is the national number six, even though he's not playing like the usual number six. You know, he's more into attacking and he's very flamboyant. His moves are very nice to watch. You know, but I think he's the one who's making a difference this season over here. And due to that, we are not leaking much goals just like last season, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So we got Gem's thoughts on the competition and the new format pre-match. Gary, I'm going to come to you because we're a few weeks in now and we're starting to see how it takes shape. The strong feeling pre-match was that we all don't like change, but maybe it's not as bad as what we thought it was going to be. Exactly. I mean, are we starting to warm to it a little bit?
I think what it does do, it throws up some interesting encounters. I mean, like, look at that one, Barcelona against Bayern Munich.
It's blockbusters early
yeah,
on,
I mean,
aren't
the,
they?
Yeah, you've got massive games, like, throughout the course of, like, the league section of whatever you want to call it. So I think in that respect, I think it's good. I mean, it's still early days yet. We're not 100% sure how many points will get you into the top eight or get you through. But I think it'll all pan out. I mean, as you rightly say, I think when you mention change, everybody kind of turns up their nose and think, oh, well, I want the status quo.
Yeah.
But I think at this moment in time, I think it might be just a change for the better, yeah. Yeah.
Let's get the guys' thoughts. Dan, firstly yourself, what were your initial thoughts when you saw the change to the competition? It's been, I think I should say, 7 years in the planning that they've had to get this right. So you would like to think that they would have got it right. It seems to be going okay so far.
I think it's been relatively successful up until this point. I think the real exciting part will come in like the 7th and 8th match days in January when, you know, the league table has really begun to take shape and each result will kind of move you up and down and you can really tell what level your club is at. But I think so far, obviously we're talking about things through a Liverpool prism. But for example, Stade Brest from France are in 5th. They've won 2 games. They've drawn one with Leverkusen earlier tonight. In normal circumstances, you know, that's a really quite small club in terms of the geography and economics of it. They shouldn't really, in terms of the size, be in the top division in France, never mind in this competition. But the fact that now the idea of being seeded alongside only 3 other teams is gone means that they've got a bit of a chance. You know, previously a side like that would have turned up, played 3 better teams than them and maybe got 2 points. At best, you might get in the Europa League as the 3rd place team in the group and that's it. I do genuinely think that some of the lesser fancied sides that are in the competition have got just a better chance of picking up some wins and seeing where they end up compared to what it was before. So yes, we're getting like Man City playing PSG and Liverpool are going to play Real Madrid in a few weeks and you get those kinds of like big ticket event games earlier on. but also for the teams that have maybe been kind of left out of the competition, certainly from a competitiveness point of view over the past few years. I think it gives them a bit of a better go as well. So far, I'm a fan, I would say.
Let's see what Paul thinks. Paul, how have you taken to it so far? You embraced the change, or was it a case of not broke, don't need to fix it?
I think there's loads of different ways to look at it. I think the bigger picture one, that's probably a conversation for another day, is I think it's probably UEFA's way of trying to sneak in a Super League through the back door eventually. But that, putting that to one side, I do think the old format had become stale. We'd got to a point where we were seeing the same fixtures a lot. We were seeing the same teams going through. So I think something had to change, and change is good in that sense. I think the other good thing about this format is it will keep people interested for longer, because even after three games, and we see the way that the table is shaped up, that is skewed massively by the fixtures everyone's had so far, and that doesn't even out in the short term. Look at Leipzig's a really good example. They've had three tough games and they've lost all three, but I don't know who they've got left to play, but I'm sure they've got some easier fixtures to come, whereas we've got Leverkusen and Madrid next. So I think it will keep people interested for longer. As everybody said, it's also throwing up some big fixtures early on, which is obviously interesting, but I don't think we'll be able to judge it properly until we get towards the end of this group and see what it looks like then.
Yeah, I think everyone's still sort of scratching their heads trying to work out how many points will be needed for progression, etc. Sashi, what's been the response in your part of the world to the changes to the Champions League this season?
I think it's a good change, because like how Paul said it earlier, you tend to get big matches, you know, and also you get to avoid like those previous years, you know, the old format, where whenever you travel for away matches, you try to defend, you just try to get a single point, and it wasn't an attractive match like what you're seeing now. Lately, with the new format, you can see a lot of attractive matches, scores, you know, a lot of goals being scored, and team try to win when they're traveling away. You know, I think it's good for the football fans.
In terms of further down the line, is there anyone, there's obviously the obvious candidates you don't want to be drawing, but is there anyone who's maybe surprised you a little bit so far and you're thinking, oh, actually, I wouldn't fancy them?
No, not really, no. I think it's too early in the competition to say that. I think there is an imbalance. I think it was Dan that made that point. I think that the imbalance of teams playing against tougher teams. So I think it'll even itself out. I go along with Paul a little bit that I'm not sure it was 7 years in the making. I think the fact that Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich tried to Bayern Munich, but Real Madrid and Barcelona are pushing for the Super League. I think that might have something to do with the change of format, but that's only me just being an old cynic.
Being cynical. Well, listen, in terms of Liverpool, Dan, it's obviously going extremely well, and I guess the question is, how far can it go? Do you dare to dream that this could be the perfect season for Arne Slot and his first one in charge?
Well, there's no point being a supporter if you don't dream of the best outcome, is there? You know, the whole point is the joy of the ride, and if it turns out that the amazing things you want to happen in the end do, then great. If not, then oh well, try again the year after. But I would have no issue with anyone getting carried away about this. Football's supposed to be fun anyway, and so far he couldn't be doing anything realistically better, you know, not just in terms of being competitive. Was it difficult to replace the previous manager? But you know, the way that he was adored and the way that even just his personality was revered made him much more than a football coach. And I think the way that Slot has kind of just not really shown that much of himself and is only really interested in talking about football and the way that he wants his team to play, the way that the system should be working, I think is such a smart way of doing it, because it differentiates him just from the get-go, draws a line in the sand and sets up something new. So I see no reason, you know, some teams have been impressive so far, obviously City, Villa as well, and they've got a really good manager in Europe. Sport and Lisbon look like a really, really good team this year. But there's certainly no reason to think that Liverpool couldn't maybe make it to the final and go all the way. And why not hope for that while things are going well now?
OK, we're going to a break very shortly, but do you agree with Dan? Could this be the season?
I think every season they're Liverpool got to go there.
He's right though, isn't he? Exactly, if you don't get excited about things like this and you don't kind of dare to dream, if you like, then what's the point?
Oh, absolutely. I think anybody that's like being a fan of Liverpool Football Club, the expectation level is always to like go and win things, whether it be the league, whether it be the FA Cup, whether it be the Champions League or whatever. And I think most of our history is based on winning things, and especially in Europe. A lot of our history is like in European football, so why not?
Why not indeed? What an incredible debut season that would be for Arne Slot. We're taking a break here. On his way though, Cody Gakpo is after this break. Just a quick break in today's show to remind you that there are two series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. It's where you'll hear from current and former players about their lives off the pitch and career on it. We've got Andy Robertson's car-sharing stories with his brother, Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jurgen Klopp after he left the club, how Curtis Jones celebrated that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing from Ajax, and lots more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now, and make sure to give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's show. Welcome back. Liverpool are joint top of the Champions League table tonight after a 1-0 win in Leipzig, and Cody Gakpo is speaking to Mark Benstead.
Cody, very well done. What was the key to getting the result this evening?
To put in a lot of work defensively, also with the attacking. But I think we worked very hard and we chose the good moments to counter-attack, also to attack. And I think we did very well. Sometimes we just kept the ball as well. But I think it was overall a good performance, I think. And at the end, we defended good. So we needed Kuyt and the back line to save us. But that's also strength of us now. And very happy with that.
You control big parts of the game, but there were times when Leipzig had good moments.
Yeah.
Is it about being composed in those moments? You seem to sort of weather the storm and then pick things back up again.
Yeah, I think that's the most important. Obviously, you know, you can play very well on the ball. But, against a good opponent, you know, some moments in the game, maybe they have some good moments. So then it's all about to don't concede at those times and stay locked in. And I think that's what we did well today. And then after that, those situations, we gain control again. And that's, I think, how we mostly won this game today. Should have scored, I think, more goals. But at the end, a win is a win, so very happy.
Talk to me about the man playing behind you. Kostas was the player of the match today. Does the way that he's come into these games, the way that you come into some of these games, typify the group, the squad, the players come in and make an impact, make a big contribution?
Yeah, I think Kostas did very good. Played together with him on the left. I think we have a good connection. He play me, he make the overlap. I try to play him, sometimes I go inside. Also with the goal, I think I got the ball, he make a good run, I give it to him, and then, great cross, how we know him, and a good header from Mo, and then Darwin scored. So, yeah, he was very well involved, and also defensively, he stood ground, and stood his ground, and so very good performance from him, and yeah, he got the man of the match, so that says it all, you know? So, yeah, very happy with him that he showed it.
Just finally, only two sides have a 100% record after the first three games, yourselves and Aston Villa. Does that underline both how difficult it is to do well in the Champions League, but also how well you have done so far?
Yes. I think, obviously, it's the Champions League. Different setup. Maybe some more difficult games. We started off very good, but I think it's a few more matches in the group stage, so we are not done yet, and we have to stay focused. And but it shows the good start of us.
Well done tonight.
Thank you very much.
The thoughts of Cody Gakpo there. That is the Champions League then. On pause for the moment. Up next, a trip for the Reds to the capital to take on Arsenal. There's a lot of talk about games being the biggest test of the season so far, Gary. Last weekend it was Chelsea as the biggest test of the season so far, and now I think Arsenal is, we can definitely say, the biggest test of the season
so far. Yeah, because it's the next one.
What are your thoughts on it, though?
No, it's a massive game, isn't it?
Of course it is.
I think, you know, Arsenal have got their injury problems. I think one thing you would say last year that Arsenal didn't pick up nearly as many injuries as like the other teams did. This year it seems to be a little bit different. Saliba, I think, will be out suspended. Odegaard, obviously, I think, is injured. They've got one or two. Calafiori, I think, got injured last night. So they've got a few that could be missing, which could make a big difference for them. You know, I think Odegaard's a massive player for them. I think they miss him. But Liverpool, you know, it's a tough place to go. But I just hope Arsenal are wearing that white kit again, like, because every time they wear that white kit, we seem to win.
We'll have to check what kit they are wearing. I'm sure being at the Emirates, they will be in the red and white. But just in terms of measuring where Liverpool are at, is this the acid test so far?
I mean, again, we've been saying that every single game. I guess going away to the Emirates, I think there's no reason why Liverpool can't go there full of confidence. I think, you know, it is going to be another difficult game, but we seem to be saying that, you know, tonight, at the weekend, and I think they have got enough quality. I think he'll probably go back to maybe the reverse choice at the weekend in terms of the team, but the positive is for Liverpool that the players who came in tonight perform well and they've put pressure on Slot to make a decision. So I think whoever goes out, I think, like you said, you know, Saliba for me will be a huge miss.
It's
for
huge,
Arsenal.
Huge, that, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the last couple of seasons, Arsenal have taken the mantle over Liverpool, haven't they? It was Liverpool that were going to challenge Manchester City for like a couple of seasons, but now it seems to be Arsenal have taken over that mantle. It's whether Liverpool can break that kind of like kind of trend and force them and fight them all the way to the end of the season. I don't see any reason why we can't. I think we've got the ability, we've got the confidence, and I think under the new manager, I think we've got the capability as well.
Let's head to our fans, get very quick thoughts on this one. Dan, first of all, what are your thoughts ahead of the trip to the Emirates? It is obviously massive. Are Liverpool up to the challenge?
I'm really looking forward to it. You know, it's a really big opportunity to put what would then be a 7-point gap on what is a significant rival. As Gary mentioned, the injuries feel like they could make a significant difference, but also the fact that they had that surprise defeat last weekend, the fact that they're the home team, I think the pressure is all on Arsenal, really, and Liverpool can go there relatively relaxed and just focus on trying to do the things that they've been doing in recent weeks, try and control as much of the ball as they can, try to be as difficult to play through the middle of, and then be as ruthless and efficient in the good attacking moments as they can. And if they're able to do that and you know, really make that kind of statement, both in terms of the individual performance but also what it would do to the league table, then that would feel really, really significant. So really excited. These are the games that you want to be a big team for. These are the games that the manager will be very exciting.
Yeah, the games that get your heart racing, definitely, Paul. I think it's a game that the fans have had earmarked in the fixture list since the games came out, really. And obviously, it was a tough one down there last season as well. So what are your thoughts ahead of this one?
Yeah, similar to Dan, I'm really looking forward to it. And I have all season, as the guys have said in the studio, it seems every week, but it says we're saying it's the biggest game of the season. But every time that comes around, this fixture list that's coming up, I think this team, this manager's relishing the challenges. And I think one of the key things that going into this game, as Dan said, they surprisingly lost last week, but I think we're starting to see a bit of moaning coming out of Arsenal, red cards, complaining about their injuries they've gotten. Whereas if you look at us, we said earlier in the show, we're missing the best goalie in the world and we just get on with it. We're used to dealing with those type of things now. We have a few injuries, we bring in Nunes, We missed McAllister at the weekend, we brought in Jones, and we're seeing the same level being reached. So I think we go into this game, again, on the stability front, looking for a clean sheet. And if we go there and keep a clean sheet, well, we've got every chance of nicking it, and I think we owe them one. So I'm confident.
OK, he's confident. Sashi, what about yourself? You've been up through the night watching this one. I imagine our time, 4:30 on Sunday afternoon, is a little bit more of a palatable time for you to watch a game over where you are in Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close match at Emirates. As usual, knowing Arsenal and Liverpool, it's always very close. And knowing Liverpool, like, didn't lose the last 8 away matches, you know, I think they got a good chance to collect 3 points at Emirates this time.
Okay, just a quick word to the guests in the studio, because I think it's interesting talking about the disciplinary situation. 8 games played in the Premier League so far, Gemma. 3 of those, they've been reduced to 10 men. But the bigger picture shows red cards since Mikel Arteta arrived back in 2019. 18 players sent off since then. Your mouth just opened in shock. But Everton and Wolves, to put it into perspective, joint second behind Arsenal on 13. So is there a bit of...
I think Liverpool only had 7, didn't they?
Low. Yeah. So is that's something they've got to get a grip of, because they've dropped points in all 3 of those games.
Yeah, and I think when it starts hitting newspapers and social media, that it gets kind of blown out of like proportion. Then it becomes a psychological thing as well, I think. And it certainly doesn't do them any favours. So it's something they've got to get right sooner rather than later.
You confident?
Yeah.
Yes, simple 100%. Answer, the right answer. That's what about you?
Yeah, I think I don't see why we shouldn't be confident. I think the way we started the season, the fact that they've got a few injuries, I think we should be going there full of beans and expecting the 3 points.
Okay, thank you both, and a big thanks to our fan panel as well. That is it from this episode of The Reaction. We will be back on Sunday, though, with analysis and exclusive interviews from the Emirates after Liverpool take on Arsenal in the Premier League. Until then, if you haven't already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode when they drop.